Hi, good morning. Glad you're all here. Hi to those of you who are joining us online. My name's Catherine, and I'm one of the members of the teaching team, and I'll be bringing you the message this morning. You know that we are going through the Gospel of Mark. We're in chapter 5. I think we started in March, April. Anyway, there's 16 chapters, not even halfway yet, but I hope you guys are okay with it still, that we're taking our time and going through the gospel slowly. The passage that we have today is Mark 5, 21 to 43. And we'll be reading it in a little bit, but this is a memorable passage to me. It's been one of my favorites for years. I'm glad it happened to fall in my day. It's a compelling narrative. It's found in 3 of the 4 Gospels, and in all 3 Gospels, it follows the same format. The story begins with a guy named Jairus. It's interrupted by a story of a woman, and then the story closes again with Jairus' story. But the treatment in all 3 Gospels is very different. Matthew covers the story in 9 verses. Luke tells the story in 16 verses, but our guy Mark gives it the most attention. He uses 23 verses to tell this story, and he spends the most time on the unnamed woman in the middle. And if you've noticed, you will notice as we keep going through the Gospel of Mark, Mark tends to have more sympathetic portrayals of women in his gospel than the other gospel writers. Now, maybe Mark's version of this story is longer. Maybe it's because he's telling the story the way he heard it from Peter, because Peter is in this story from start to finish. And Peter may have provided the details and known the person or both people that the story is about. One person in this story is very influential. Peter may have known him. And in Mark's version, we get many more details than Matthew or Luke give us. We also have in Mark's version the Aramaic words that Jesus spoke, all of which make it seem very likely that this story was told to Mark from Peter. So here we're going to start the story, and we've got our verses. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I even touch his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. So this is another one of those famous Markan sandwiches, where the story starts with one story. So Jairus is the bread. Then we get the center of the sandwich, which is the woman with the hemorrhage. And then we get the second piece of bread, which is Jairus and his daughter and the healing. And in Mark, the center of the sandwich is always the key to understanding the whole sandwich. So we're going to take a closer look, because there are lots of things to notice in this passage. And there are many things to think about, and it even raises some questions for us today. So here are some of the similarities in the passages between the stories. Both of the stories are of females who are healed. Both are called daughter. One suffers for 12 years, and one is 12 years old. Both females bring Jesus into contact with what is unclean, a hemorrhaging woman and a dead body. And in both healings, there is a moment when others try to prevent Jesus from interacting with either one of the women. In the first case, it's the disciples, and in the second case, it's the men and then the crowd around the house of Jairus. And there are also significant contrasts in this passage. Jairus is an influential man, a ruler of the synagogue. And that means he was entrusted with the general oversight of the synagogue, with the orthodoxy of the teaching in the synagogue. He would be responsible for building maintenance, security, getting the scrolls that they needed for the scripture readings. And for the Sabbath worship, he would assign Sabbath readers, prayers, and those who would preach. Mark rarely gives us the first name of someone, but he names Jairus. And we see that Jairus is able to cut through the crowd to speak directly to Jesus and to summon Jesus to his house. Jairus is an insider. On the other hand, the woman has no name, no known position. She's an outcast in the community because she is ritually impure. Chronically ritually impure for 12 years. Until she stops bleeding, she cannot go to the temple and be declared pure by the priest. And her touch transfers her uncleanness to whatever she touches. She has no status, no advantage, no privilege. She's an outsider. So Mark is giving us two people on opposite ends of the social spectrum. Before I go any further, I just want to say that in a little while, I've just included a bunch of slides that are just artwork about the two stories. And I won't be talking about the slides, but basically it's just to give you something else to look at besides me. So interestingly, I think, Mark places this story just after the story we heard 2 weeks ago, that was the story that comes right before this, that Ginny taught about the demon-possessed man chained and in the tombs in the Gentile area. So we have a row in chapter 5, three very different people and three seemingly hopeless situations. Demon-possessed Gentile man, a hemorrhaging woman, and a dying girl. Now, in today's passage, Jesus has just crossed over the sea from where he was with the demon-possessed man in the Gentile territory. He's now back on the Jewish side of the lake, probably, most likely, in Capernaum, which was the town that Peter lived in. And as usual, a large crowd swarms around Jesus. And Jairus, the synagogue ruler, the distraught father, the desperate man, makes his way through the crowd to Jesus. And apparently, Jairus is not concerned with what the religious authorities in Jerusalem think about Jesus. He's not worried about being sullied by Jesus' reputation of hanging out and partying with the wicked ones, or that Jesus heals unclean Gentiles, or that Jesus breaks Sabbath laws, or that Jesus isn't pious enough. These are all the things that Jesus has been accused of so far in the Gospel of Mark by the religious authorities. And these are things that Jairus would normally be very concerned with. But now, Jairus is a desperate father trying to save his daughter's life. And Jairus falls to his knees and he pleads, and the text says simply, "So Jesus went with him." But of course, the crowd came along too, pressing, swarming, following along, pushing against Jairus, against Jesus. But for Jairus, there is no time to waste. I can actually sense him hurrying Jesus along. "It's this way, it's this way, my house is this way." And now, at the center of our Markan sandwich, the woman appears. And Mark says very simply, "And a woman was there." The entire focus of the story changes. Now it is entirely on this woman and what she has endured. Mark gives us a torrent of details, words upon words about her. And he's letting us know she's an outcast outside of the community for 12 years unclean. To touch her is to become unclean. What she touches becomes unclean. It's like she's living in an alternate world from everyone else around her. Or maybe it's like she's living in a cage. There's a social, religious, and cultural cage around her, and she cannot escape it. She's even lost financial security because she spent all her resources on cures that did not work. And Mark tells us that even made things worse. And there's a hint here that Mark is telling us that she's been taken advantage of by the so-called healers. And then also interesting to me is all the things about Jesus that would give most people pause, most people like Jairus. Things like Jesus' seeming lack of piety, his willingness to hang out with sinners, his willingness to touch whatever and whoever would make him ritually impure. These may be the very things that allow this woman to place her hope in him. It's his willingness to cross any barrier that gives her hope. So these two people, Jairus and the woman, could not be more different from each other. Jairus comes to Jesus face to face to make his request. The woman approaches silently from behind, knowing that what she is doing is wrong in the eyes of her community. They are on opposite ends of the social spectrum, opposite ends of the privilege spectrum. And Mark even gives us her thoughts as she reaches out. "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." And she does. And she feels immediately in her body that she is free. That's the word Mark uses, freed from her suffering. Jesus has made it possible for her to step out of that cage. Her body is healed, restored. And that would be miracle enough right there. Jesus knows she's healed. He's felt the power leave him. Jesus could have kept on walking, right? With Jairus, because the miracle has already happened. She's received what she came for. There is no need for him to stop and ask the crowd, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples are incredulous. "Jesus, you've got to be kidding. You see this crowd? You see how big it is? Everybody's touching everybody else. How could we possibly know who touched you?" And imagine, too, how Jairus feels right now, because Jesus has stopped walking towards Jairus's house. Jairus is standing there. "Jesus, keep moving. Don't stop. My daughter's dying. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop." But Jesus has planted himself, and he keeps looking around. Maybe because there is more that needs to happen here. Perhaps in a way this is a two-part healing. He's healed her body, but something more needs to happen. At Jesus' insistence, the woman comes forward reluctantly. She comes from the margins to center stage, and he listens to her as she tells him her whole truth. Again, that's the phrase that Mark uses, her whole truth. What an interesting phrase. Jesus listens to her. He listens to her story, her shame, what she's endured. The crowd hears her story, what she has endured. Jesus has healed her body, but now he lifts up her voice. And Jairus is forced to listen to her story. A story that Jairus has always been able to ignore because he's a person of status and she is not. Does Jairus realize that he, as the ruler of the synagogue, may have added to her pain by upholding the religious laws that added to her suffering? Is Jairus for the first time hearing the voice of this woman? Jesus says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." With those words, especially that word, daughter, Jesus restores her to community, to the covenant family of Israel. And Jairus hears her called by that same intimate relational word that he uses for his own child. But then what Jairus fears happens. While Jesus is delayed speaking to the woman, men come from the house of Jairus and say, "Your daughter is dead. It's pointless to make the teacher come." And Jesus, who is still speaking to the woman, turns to Jairus and says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And I think Mark wants us to see and to understand that Jesus is telling Jairus, "This woman, this is what faith looks like. Faith is reaching out to me. Faith is reaching out to Jesus, not knowing what the outcome is, but trusting in the God who is love." And now Jairus starts walking, and now Jesus starts walking to Jairus' house, but he doesn't allow the crowds to follow. Only Peter, James, and John. And when they get to the house, there is another crowd of people there, wailing and crying, both inside and outside of the house. And Jesus puts them outside. And then with just the mother and the father, Peter, James, and John, Jesus holds the hand of the dead girl, speaks to her in Aramaic, telling her to get up, and she does. Jesus brings life where there is death. Now, in this passage, Jesus has been touched once by a woman who is ritually impure, and he once touches a dead girl. And both touches render Jesus ritually impure. except that they don't. Because what we see instead is that Jesus restores, he heals, he saves these two people. As God incarnate, as the embodied Holy of Holies walking among them, he makes them ritually pure by his touch. And if we take the three stories together, the demon-possessed man from 2 weeks ago in that began this chapter, the hemorrhaging woman from today, and the dying girl, three seemingly hopeless, desperate situations, we see a pattern. We see a pattern of compassion and mercy over religious laws and over social taboos. We see that legalism makes way for love. And note, too, how Jesus doesn't command either the demon-possessed man or the woman to silence, because these needed to be public cures that restored these two people to the communities from which they had been ostracized. Because healing isn't just about mental or physical health. Healing is what makes it possible for people to flourish in all ways, to experience intimacy, to love, and to be loved, and to be part of a community. And notice, too, how Jesus specifically drew attention to the woman. Your faith has healed you. He commends her. He knows it was his power that left him, but he says it's your faith that healed you. He gives her the credit to the outsider, the one with no standing in the community. In essence, saying to Jairus, the respected insider, and to the crowds, and to the disciples, and to us, learn from this woman. There is a temptation to view this passage as proof that God answers our requests if we have faith. I'm not saying that, and the text is not saying that. What the text could be saying is that there is something we want, and there is something God wants, and they aren't always the same. God is interested in making us well, but being made well is much larger than being healed of something or having a prayer answered in the way we think it should. Being made well involves body, mind, soul, spirit, and community. It's wholeness, it's shalom. The woman needed more than her bleeding to stop. She needed her dignity and her humanity restored. The demon-possessed man needed more than an exorcism. He needed his dignity and his humanity restored. They both needed community. And maybe Jairus needed more than he knew. Maybe Jairus needed to hear the word daughter spoken twice by Jesus to learn that both the woman and his dying daughter were of equal value. Maybe Jairus needed to hear the woman's whole truth in order for him to be made well. Because we are not well if we are unwilling to hear the voices of those who are hurting, set aside, or discounted. Because maybe we all need to learn that being made well begins when we reach out to Jesus. Being made well means that we receive compassion and love and mercy from Jesus and are able to extend that compassion and that love and that mercy to others. Being made well means that we want all to flourish. Being made well involves listening to the whole truth of the ones we judge, dismiss, and ignore. And being made well sometimes involves telling our own whole truth. This passage also teaches me that to truly understand the gospel, we need other people. Even people who are not like us, even people we don't like, even people, hard to believe, who don't like us. Jesus is not constrained by institutional power, social constructs, economic, racial, political, or moral barriers and borders. Are we willing to cross barriers and borders to hear someone's whole truth, to see someone as loved by Jesus as we feel that we are loved? And this passage also tells me that we live in a world, I don't think this passage tells me, this passage upon reflection shows me that we live in a world where hope is a privilege. It seems to belong to those who, like Jairus, have the resources and the status to make hope possible. But this unnamed woman shows us that Jesus is the true source of hope. And I might say this twice. And when we love like Jesus, hope flows into the world. When we love like Jesus, hope flows into the world. My message is mercifully short today for all of you guys, so I'm going to invite the band up. And I'm just going to close with some words that are on the screen. And I couldn't decide if I wanted to end with a prayer or a benediction, and I think they're both. Without knowing the outcome, we reach out in faith to Jesus. So reach out to the Lord, for with him there is unearned love and kindness and vast redemption. He will lead us until we are healed and whole. He will lead us until our neighbor is healed and whole. He will lead us until our enemy is healed and whole. For with him there is unearned love and kindness and a vast redemption. Amen.